You have your Bibles. Turn with me, please, over to Mark chapter 5 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 25. Mark 5 and 25. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word might have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Jesus took seemingly every situation, every opportunity to teach his disciples something about who he is. And we get to read about it in your word. And so through your word, you're teaching us more about who Jesus is. Open our hearts and our minds up to what you would teach us today. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have here in a section four miracles back to back. Starts back here in chapter 4 in verse 35. The four miracles are separate. The miracles are separated by two trips across the Sea of Galilee, from west to east and back again. And twice in this passage, we will see the word immediately. These episodes, these encounters seem to happen very quickly, one upon the other. The first involves the voyage from Capernaum to the country of the Gerasenes. We start with what Jesus and his disciples find when they arrive. In verses 1 through 20, a demoniac. Now, that's a word we made up, by the way. A demoniac is a man with an unclean spirit. And I didn't make that up. I didn't learn that in seminary. I read it in verse 2. A lot we don't know about the work of Satan in the lives of men and women. Sometimes we refer to it as demon possession. They seem to just take over a person. Sometimes we refer to it as demon oppression. That can happen regularly in the life of a believer. After all, if you are standing for Christ, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, you are warring against Satan. And he will only take so much before he kicks back. That's satanic oppression. But here we have a man who is just consumed by satanic power. Read with me a little bit here. We should start at verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain. Satan, through his minions, demons, has so empowered this man that he's stronger than anything others can, no one can overpower him. And even those things with which they were able to temporarily bind him, nothing held him. He was a wild man, living in the tombs, living in a cemetery. Jesus meets him, and down in verse 8 commands him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." It doesn't happen right away. Questioning Jesus' authority? Yeah, not that his authority is diminished at all, but that Satan is questioning. Satan is confronting Jesus' authority. And in response, Jesus says, "Well, what is your name?" And he says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Well, that could have been used popularly. A legion of something was a whole bunch. A Roman legion was made up of 6,000 soldiers. So were there 6,000 demons here? Probably not, because the word also in common use came to mean a whole bunch, a lot, many. And they had tremendous power over him. Again, Jesus commands in verse 8, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And that's exactly what happens. And immediately the man is changed. But what I want you to see is the community's reaction. There's been this wild man in the town cemetery, keeping people awake all night with his hollering. He's uncontrollable. Nobody can stop him. Jesus has healed him. He's seated, clothed, and in his right mind. What does the community do? Well, they came to Jesus, verse 15, and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described it to them, how it had happened to the demon-possessed man, and they began to implore him to leave their region. The townspeople went out, and there he is. Not the wild man that he'd been for so long. And they asked what happened. And I'm sure the story was accurately told. Jesus calls those demons out of him. And immediately, this man is well. And what do? Well, I don't know how they did it. Took a vote, whatever. What do? They ask him to leave. We can't deal with this kind of thing. They couldn't deal with the man in the cemetery. But neither can they deal with the man who says, in the power of God, commands those demons to leave, and they do. They couldn't deal with the presence of Satan, and they didn't want to deal with the presence of God. So they asked him to leave. But the joy in this is the reaction of the man who is healed. Look down at verse 18. As he was getting into the boat, Jesus, along with his disciples, getting ready to go back across the Sea of Galilee, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to be one of your disciples. I want to be one of your students. I want to learn unto you. I want to watch you. I want to see what you're doing. This man is truly a brand new person. But look at what Jesus said to him. Verse 19. He did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Now, it's a good possibility that this fellow is not Jewish. This is probably a Gentile community. Why? Because if we'd read the whole story, you would know there were pigs involved. Okay? So this guy's probably a Gentile. So there's no talk of going to see the priest, no talk of, you know, going to Jerusalem, going to the temple, none of that. What does Jesus say? Go back to your family and tell them what happened. Go back and remind them of who you were and how you did live and show them how you're living now and tell them how and why. Be a witness. Share your story. Not somebody else's story. Share your story. And verse 20 says, he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Decapolis is a reference to 10 cities, towns, communities, over on that side of the Sea of Galilee. So this guy's going through the whole area. Oh, do you remember the story about the guy who lived in the cemetery and who kept everybody up all night? That was me. Until I met Jesus. Jesus said, that's what I want. And that's what he did. Went anywhere he could, told anyone he could, his story. Well, God, through Jesus, had delivered him. Next, they get to the other side, and as soon as they get there, Jesus is confronted by a man by the name of Jairus. Verse 21, when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came up and on seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. Come, Jairus comes to Jesus and he says, come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. A synagogue official, not a rabbi, not a priest or anything like that. He would have been a lay leader. He might have been the chairman of the board, might have been what we would call a deacon today or a trustee. He was the guy who made sure the lights were on, the heat's on, that kind of stuff. Made sure there was a speaker for the day, that kind of thing. He was well known, respected. And his 12-year-old daughter is sick. And it's looking like unless something or someone intervenes, she's going to die. And, you know, Jesus is back home, and Jairus has heard about Jesus. And he says, if you are who you say you are, that's inferred. If you are, you can just touch her and heal her. And Jesus takes off. They get there. What do they find? Well, let's start at verse 35. As they're going, as they're making their way there, some folks from home come and say, and tell him, she's gone. She died. You don't need to bother Jesus anymore. But Jesus says, don't be afraid, only believe. Immediately, verse 42, as Jesus goes in and calls to her, immediately the girl got up and began to walk, and they were completely astounded. Dad's request, just come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. The result of Jesus simply touching her, she immediately got up. Again, we don't know what the disease was. We don't know what put her in the bed. But not unlike the situation with Peter's mother-in-law, whatever it was, her recovery was complete. There were no days of physical therapy. Nothing like that. She's 12 years old. She got up and she was walking. Everything was fine. She was well. Now, smack in the middle of all of this is what we read earlier about a very sick woman. Verse 25 says that basically modern medicine had impoverished her and she'd grown worse. What was she dealing with? We don't know for sure. Doesn't really matter. The point is, she'd tried everything that was at all reasonable. Nothing had worked. And she's broke. There's nothing left to do. But she's heard about Jesus and come to this conclusion, if I just touch his garments, I will be well. So she walks up, comes up behind him, crowd. Remember when we read earlier, it's like shoulder to shoulder. She gets up behind him and reaches out and touches his cloak. And she's healed. Don't miss the humor, if you will, in Jesus' statement. When he says, who touched me? There was bumping and all sorts of things going on. But Mark says, immediately he felt power go out from him. He knew someone had touched him by faith. That someone had been healed. Someone had been blessed in a very special way. And he just wanted to know who. And Mark says she was reluctant. She stepped back. Then finally Jesus turned around and looked right at her. And as soon as he did, she went to her knees and told him, I just thought if I could touch your cloak, I believe you are who you say you are. That's inferred. But I believe you are who you say you are. I didn't want to bother you. But I thought that if I just touched your cloak, I could be healed. And she was. But notice what Jesus says to her afterwards. Verse 34, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. He confirms that her healing was a result of her faith. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. I thought she was already healed. I thought she was already okay. Maybe Jesus is speaking of the other healing that took place that day. The faith that allowed this young lady to reach out for Jesus was the same faith that would heal her soul, that would forgive her of sin and free her from the eternal sickness that she was dealing with. Not only is her physical body now healed, she's forgiven. And Jesus says, go in peace. There are some conclusions in all of this, these miracles that have happened back to back to back to back. If we read the one in Chapter 4, where they run into a storm, we'd find that one of the conclusions that the disciples came to about Jesus, their rabbi, their teacher, being around him is terrifying. That's the word they used. This is terrifying. The people who watched Jesus heal that man who was demon-possessed, who had an unclean spirit, they were amazed. They said, it's amazing, this story, what we're seeing. It was real. When Jesus heals, we have our word again in verse 42, it was immediate. Immediate and complete. Nothing left to be done. And then This gal who is healed of this sickness that modern medicine couldn't heal. When Jesus works in the life, it is always the result of faith. Believing that he is who he says he is. Now let's look at those again real quickly. There should be times when we are busy in pursuing Christ-likeness, listening to and being led by the Holy Spirit, when we're going to come up against something that is flat terrifying. It shouldn't surprise us if from time to time God takes us someplace that leaves us afraid. And in that fear, in that terror, we don't melt away. We turn to our Heavenly Father. We tune into the Holy Spirit within us. We're thankful for our Savior. That's what got those disciples through that storm on the sea. Yes, they were afraid. They were terrified. But once they focused on Jesus, everything was fine. Yet not I, but Christ in me, we should be from time to time amazed by what he does. Because it's not us, it's him. We should be amazed, and others should be amazed at what is accomplished through us in him. When God makes a promise and he delivers, we can expect the results to be immediate. Nothing left to do. Nothing. Remember, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast, thinking you had something more to do to secure this thing. Nope. It's all done. When you, by faith, accepted that gift of grace, it was all done. And it was immediate. Past, present, and future. Sin question taken care of. And again, as with this lady, all by faith. Terrifying, sometimes. Amazing, regularly. Immediate, got to pay a little closer attention to see that. But always by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that these will be more than just stories, but illustrations of great truth about who Jesus is. And not only what he did before the cross, but what we can learn of what he did. Thank you. Thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly, so that you can use it in our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.